I saw a street poster in 2009, which rather caught my eye. It was kind of good. A street poster that said, if you owned all the money in the world and I owned all the land, how much would I charge you for your first night's rent? And I obviously there's not an answer other than you charge all the money in the world. So I, the I of the poster, now has all the money and all the land. I think that's the conclusion you're supposed to draw. It's a bit of a agitprop that's going on out there. A guerrilla campaign. The guerrilla campaign's turned into a documentary with a screening. Oh, it wasn't politics at all. It was just art. Real Estate for Ransom is the name of the documentary. And Carl Fitzgerald is the agitpropper. Good morning, Carl.
G'day, Red.
You're a troublemaker, aren't you?
Well, we need to, don't we, when young people are being asked to pay 40% of their income on somewhere to live.
But don't we have a housing shortage?
Well, that's what we're led to believe, but we've come out with a report recently, a speculative vacancies report, that studied just 64% of Melbourne's housing and found that there were over 46,000 empty homes.
Do you like the way I asked the question, knowing that you would have an answer for that question?
Oh, we're on fire early in the morning.
61,000 houses are currently empty in Melbourne, you reckon?
Yeah, well, it's staggering, isn't it? But if you go for a drive through any of the new housing developments we've got around Melbourne, even ones like Caroline Springs that have been around about 10, 15 years, well, most of the streets you drive down, you'll see at least one land bank there, one vacant lot just sitting there innocently waiting away.
Land bank?
Yeah, just a piece of empty land sitting there. I mean, it's the main cost we have for housing. And everything is set up to encourage that sort of behaviour. If you look at the tax system from the local government level up to the federal government.
But we, us old people, Carl, have worked really hard, and that's our nest eggs. We've got it invested in property developments.
Yeah, I know. Well, everyone's in on it. The unions are in on it.
The unions?
The superannuation companies, you know, everyone's playing this game. And look what's happened to the world economy. Property speculation has blown apart the dreams of, you know, this capitalist, utopian, wealth paradigm we're supposed to be in.
Well, Carl, thank heavens there's a documentary screening at the Acme which is going to turn the world around.
Well, we're hoping that it'll just trigger people to think somewhat long-term on how we're dealing with our land because, you know, it's crazy that you can take out a second job and be penalised with a higher tax rate, or you can buy a second piece of property and be applauded by the government with tricks such as negative gearing.
Well, the problem for people with superannuation is what are you going to do with it? We're not allowed to have it, but we have to stash it away. Mandated by the government, as I recall.
Yes, that's right. Well, it's become quite a nice little slush fund for those at the top of the tree to invest in whatever assets return the highest return. And it's about time we started looking at who rising property prices really benefit. There's a lot of young people locked out of the market, a lot of long-term renters who turning to alcohol-fueled violence, you know, you see all of these after effects coming through of this fact that so many people are being locked out of what was once the great Australian dream.
So the fact that some old people, and they're not all rich old people, have superannuation is causing young people to drink too much and have fights?
Well, if you're paying over 40% of your money on somewhere to live, there's, you know, that the sort of freedoms we were brought up to believe in are really limited by what's in our wallets. And maybe that cheap cask wine is leading to some negative side effects there. I mean, people are complaining about the lack of retail sales that are going on now, but very few are putting two and two together and saying, well, listen, everyone's bought at the, well, a lot of people have bought up towards the top of the market now, and they're struggling to have any money left over to go out for dinner and so forth.
Right, there's a lot of people who won't be very happy if the property boom, property bubble bursts, because they will be paying yesterday's prices for today's houses, won't they?
That's true as well. So, you know, we need a less risky approach to things, and we believe that taking the speculation out of the housing market, also out of the oil market, you know, really speculation doesn't do what it's meant to do. It's meant to bring a balance to prices in whatever market they're involved in. And really, with the role now that algorithmic computing trading is playing, the whole speed of trading has just skyrocketed, and we've got to just step back and look at how the tax system played a part in crushing the Spanish, the Irish, the Greek, the American, the UK economies, and all of them had property bubbles.
Mm-hmm. So, well, yeah, keep working on the problem. I just hope it doesn't turn your hair white with all the worry.
Well, Red, I was listening to that. Yeah, mine's already fallen out, but...
I'm not surprised with the worries you've got, but at least you're addressing it by making a documentary that's screening at the Acme.
Yes, realestateforransom.com.
On Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Thank you, Red.
It may help.